This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War on the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons, tune in. We're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe. Morning, good evening. How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Hey, fantastic. Everybody, welcome aboard. We're kicking off our Tuesday marathon here on December 21st, 2022. Welcome aboard. And we've got the honor of having Major Tom Baird here tonight, the next hour. We'll get started. Major Tom, would you like to open us up in prayer?
Yes, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment that we can pause before you and give you the glory due your name, to acknowledge that you are God and that you are in all that we do. We do nothing except that that is by you, and we need your help. Lord, we pray right now that you would open our minds and our hearts to receive the messages that you have for each one of us. Prepare us for this hour and help us to hear your voice and to see where we can interrupt the enemy and make the greatest damage to his efforts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I say amen to that. Major Tom, the microphone is yours. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. What we have tonight is something a little bit different. In July, I was listening to a presentation by Israeli News Live. It's one of the sources that I use for information that comes through that's alternative news and intelligence. And he was giving a briefing, briefing on military intelligence at the time. And as I'm listening to it, I thought, oh my goodness, I need to write this down as a chart. Well, it turns out what he was describing are the various levels and beings and individuals and where they fit in our spiritual and physical war between good and evil. And he was discussing the various classifications as well, the security classifications that were involved. We won't get into that because I never got anything further than top secret as far as my clearances were concerned. Well, actually, it was top secret crypto, which is one category higher than normal top secret. At any rate, when he got done, he had 10 levels. Levels 1 through 10, and he had them well organized. And as I was looking at that, I said, well, if I'm looking at this and I'm only concentrating on these 10, I don't have the real full picture, because you have to, it was all about the enemy, the devil's domain, his kingdom. And even though that may be interesting and advantageous as far as gleaning information as to where his greatest weak spots are, and you can attack him in those areas, but it really doesn't give a person the complete picture. And so I added four other categories, two above the 10 and two below the 1. So I have level 00, which is the lake of fire and brimstone, as your final destruction destination. And then I have level 0, which is hell itself and death. And then on top, I really didn't do anything as far as breaking out the hierarchy in heaven. For one thing, I don't know very much about it, except that we know we have angels and archangels, and we have beasts and other created beings. And I don't know where those particular entities fit in the whole scheme of things. So I just made two categories, two levels. Level 11, which are all the angels and the created beings, and then level 12 being the uncreated beings of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And then as I began to list those things, I began to try to have common elements in each level that I could carry through to see how things flowed, who did what to whom, and who was responsible, or who was in control over somebody else, and so on. And so, actually, I'm trying to answer what is going on in the spiritual and physical war between good and evil. Now, we see what's going on in the physical. Most of us are familiar with that, and we're really frustrated with the advantages and a large amount of progress being made against good by all those who are ascribed to evil. And it really is frustrating when you've come from a well-structured, godly, God-fearing environment in a rural setting where you have a personal relationship, and almost everyone in your community has a personal relationship with God in righteousness and truth and in piety. Now, some of the things that I've also included in this come from the book, the extra book that we don't have in our canon of the Bible, and that's primarily the Book of Enoch, because it describes quite a few things there spiritually that we wouldn't get anywhere else. For instance, because Enoch himself, actually, while he still lived on Earth in his 365 years, traveled back and forth between Earth and Heaven at the behest of God himself to give classes and instruction to those in the realm of Heaven. Now, I haven't progressed that particular level of spirituality, nor do I know of anybody else in our modern day that has either. So that was quite phenomenal, I thought, as I studied that. However, what we want to look at, and it's going to be coached pretty much in my background, which is a military hierarchy. And so we have this chart as a description of the command and control hierarchy for all existence. The sources that I used, primarily the book of the Holy Bible itself, with the revelation of the Holy Spirit, professional educated observations by myself, mostly by other individuals, and the hierarchy of authority and command from the military staff of the United States at the Pentagon itself. Now, it's up to date as of the 21st of December, and what I'd like to offer out here is I don't need to be the only one working on this chart. I'm sure there are others that God will give an insight to that will have information that can add to this particular chart and make it more complete than it is now. So it's a work in progress. Now, in this hierarchy, we're dealing with beings, levels, and people controlling the world within the rulership of the prince of the air, i.e. Satan. Within the great deception that he is and practices, but also I'm showing God's ultimate authority and power, which is listed as the first two levels above those of the evil ones, and also showing the limitations that are placed upon the demons and the devils, the evil. It doesn't look like there's any limitations on them, but there is. And we'll get into that as well. And this is describing the structure as we have it right now before Jesus' return. And as I said before, it's as reported from the Bible and Israeli News Live. And that I have document, I have a reference to his website where you can go and get that particular briefing itself. It's on iConnect FX. It used to be on YouTube, but YouTube is too aggressive in its censoring of truth. And so we don't, as we've already seen. Now, let's go to the first one. I want to go to the highest ones because we need to know who really is in charge. And it is not Satan. He may appear to be, and for those in his realm, they think he is, but it's not. Now, you got to remember also that we're dealing with not only our physical area of creation, our dimension, our 3D dimension, but we're dealing with all dimensions. And as far as I can understand, most individuals say that there are 10 dimensions. It's interesting that one of the sages, one of the Jewish sages, way back when he was making his analysis on the Torah, came up in studying Genesis, and he said there were 10 dimensions and that 4 were knowable and the others were unknown. Now, how he got that, I don't know. It was fascinating just to find that out. Now, I've also read when I was studying your subatomic particles and your theory governing those particular items of existence, that some say there are up to 23. Well, there may be many more than just 23, because we're talking about a limitless God and how however many he wants to create and exist in is way, way beyond my understanding, and I think most of us. So I'm not going to limit him to any particular number, and probably won't find that out until I enter through the veil and are in his presence. Now, one of the characteristics as we start in level 12 is that God is total good and total love. And we're talking about God the Father, God the Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father has complete authority and power throughout all dimensions. And we know in the scripture, and we can find that out just simply by studying the scriptures as a whole. I don't have any particular scripture that states that specific item, nor do I think that a lot of the items of the attributes of God, if you study systematic theology, they're going to give you all the characteristics of God. But they never seem to give you a specific scripture reference for each one, because they're encapsulated in all of the scriptures and inferred through those scriptures and throughout the Bible itself. Now, we do know that it's specifically stated, and it's in John, the Gospel of John. Jesus himself stated this, that he after his resurrection, that he has been given all authority and power. And by the way, the word for authority means either authority or power, and we'll find that a little bit later, both in heaven and on earth. Praise God that that's the case, for we serve a mighty God and we serve a risen Savior. Now, the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus and the Father and is granted to Christian believers as the power of God, of the Spirit of God. Now, in the attributes of God, number one, God is good. He controls evil. And in the description in the chart, I actually have a reference to that particular thing. Let's see if I can find that. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, he said, number one, let me see, I think I can do that pretty a lot easier. It's footnote number 5, and since I'm on the document, I can just click on it and go to number 5. And number 5 says, it's talking about Revelation 9, verses 3 and 4. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any trees, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So, there, right there, that's just one example. God is limiting what evil can do. Even in the midst of his releasing these entities in judgment, he still limits them, because he gives them over to individuals that are in the beast system, but not those that are sealed in their forehead by God. Now, we know about the 144,000. Everybody's talking about the 144,000. That's in chapter 7 of Revelation. But I believe it's in verse 9, after the 11, after the 144,000 are listed, it also lists in there that there was the innumerable crowd of people, of mankind, so much, so many, that they could not be numbered. And it's right in that same sentence, that same paragraph, without a break and without another subject, of the angels sealing God's saints. So you and I, who are following the Lord, also will be sealed with His seal. Now, it's not something that we're going to be able to see, obviously, but spiritually, God knows already. And that's exciting to know that. Now, that's the example of how one of the ways that God limits evil. And He tells, remember when He talked to Satan, and Satan wanted to get a hold of Job, and Job said, you can do everything to him. You can touch his flesh, but you cannot kill him. You would not allow Satan to kill him. Whatever God says, even though Satan seems to have a lot of power, he really doesn't. He has to follow every instruction to the letter. Now, he is a good Philadelphia, I guess we'd call him a good Philadelphia lawyer, because he ends up finding every way that he can think of to get around any statement that God makes, and he purses words and letters and statements all the time just to make sure that he can get his one last dig into any saint at any time. But he's not one that we need to fear. Did Jesus fear him? How did Jesus confront Satan to begin with? He always used scripture. Now, as I'm reading that particular narration, and Satan's always approaching Jesus, and he says, if you are the Son of God. I think that when that statement is made, there was doubt in Satan's mind as to whether Jesus, the Nazarite, really was the Son of God. There's two conditions that I can see there. He's number one, he's questioning it. Number two, he's mocking. In any case, he's trying to mock the authority of God by those kinds of questions. Now, God loves mankind. And here's a neat thing about it. He directly interacts with all mankind all at once, at the same time, with a totally secure communications. There's no cryptology that is known to mankind that cannot be broken, but not even Satan can break God's communication. It is totally secure between you and God, and only when God or our choices allow it to be compromised, can it be known by any other entity. God, so the instructions that God gives us is totally secure. We can count on it. And it also comes from Psalms 91, the secret place of the Most High God. Because that's where we reside. And when we are in the secret place of the Most High God, how is Satan going to find us? How is Satan's entity going to find us? Because all God has to do is simply put his hand over us in the intense power of God's light is so bright and so powerful that Satan cannot even approach it under penalty and danger of total disintegration. Now, this communication is completely active and it is instantaneous at all times. There's no breaking in. And this is all going on right now as we're speaking. And it's happening from every person, over 7 billion people right now. And God is instantly aware of every one of us, and not only of us, but what we are about. What is the intent of our heart? What is the desire of our heart? What are our needs? We don't even know our own needs, let alone somebody else's. But God knows everyone's need. And he knows their desires. And he also lets his desires to be made known, because God desires not that any man should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of God through our Lord and Savior Jesus. Now, it also states that Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That's in John 10:10, the last half of the verse. So you would, if you're looking at it, and you would claim it to be John 10:10b. But that more abundantly is with, and I've only listed a few. I haven't listed everything, but I've listed those things that are in Scripture that the Lord highlighted to me. And as I was building this particular chart, I was simply going to the Lord and saying, okay, Lord, what is it you're trying to tell me? And then I wrote down what he gave me. Number one, he does this with perfect loving kindness. Oh my goodness, my heart just leaps for joy just thinking of that. Perfect righteousness. Where can we find perfect righteousness except in God? Perfect justice. Perfect truth. Perfect free will to choose. Only through God is the free will of man held sovereign. He will not interfere, even to his own detriment, even to his own hurt. You remember in the scripture where it says, blessed is the man who swears to a thing even unto his own hurt? Well, not only is a man blessed, but look at what it comes from, what God is doing. God has already laid out the foundation of the truths and he will not violate. And one of those, and Satan knows it too, that's why Satan tries to get around it, is that we have our free will. What else does that mean? If we have a free will to choose and to choose good, we also have its companion, which is perfect freedom. Where do you think our forefathers came up with the idea? It was a God-given thing that we would perfect a government that would protect perfect freedom. It wouldn't grant. It cannot do that. Only God can grant that. And it also is part of the perfect law of liberty. And so everything that we see going on today that is trying to subvert and destroy our freedom and our liberty is not coming from God. It is, in fact, a curse. God is allowing it because we have already gone way beyond the limits of rebellion that God will tolerate. And so he has to put a stop to that, and we're experiencing that. All of this that we're seeing right now is giving us troubles and tribulation, particularly over our loss of liberty, and we can see that very easily, is because maybe not you and maybe not me, but we haven't done enough to correct and to cull those that are evil. It only takes a good man or woman doing nothing for evil to prevail. That was one of my mottos that I continually spoke when I was actively involved in either the military leadership or the leadership in my own community and the city council and as a mayor one time of a small village in Alaska called Houston, Alaska. At the time that I was mayor, we had a population around 1,100 and some, 1,146 or 7 individuals, and we had 10 million trees. Our town boundary or city boundaries encompassed a plot of land along the main artery between Anchorage and Fairbanks. It was north of the largest town of Wasilla. And it was a plot of land that was 10 miles long and 3 miles wide. And it was primarily wilderness spruce trees and swamp. In fact, as an aside, I could go down, I was living on the east side up on a ridgeline, on the east side of the highway. It was called Parks Highway. That's the main highway between Anchorage and Fairbanks. And if I went down to the road, which then was next, Little Susitna River was adjacent to that, about 100 yards beyond to the west. Nevertheless, if I stepped off the shoulder, the western shoulder of the Parks Highway, where I was, and I took an azimuth of due west, I would have to walk over 1,000 miles before I would encounter another road system. All of that was wilderness. And most of the people that I served were served by air. Many, many homesteads had their own, very own little short airstrip. And I would then, as a bush pilot, go in there and service them, give them their food, their medicine, bring them back and forth from town and so on for their appointments and whatever else, what other transactions they needed. And particularly in the summertime, because everything was not frozen, it was all pretty much swamp and very, very difficult to traverse and dangerous as well. So in the wintertime, it wasn't quite so difficult. You could get a dog team and sled and go across the frozen ground and get to town that way. But it would take you probably 10 hours to get from the just 30 miles away, going as fast as you could on the snow machine, to get over to the highway, and then from there get a ride to town. But for me to go and pick them up by air in a small airplane that traveled at a great speed of, and I'm being facetious, of 150 knots, I'm sorry, 150 miles an hour, not knots, 150 miles an hour, that's about 130 knots. And it would still take me about 30 minutes to go out there and pick them up and bring them back. There were great adventures in that as well. But God gave us the liberty, and it was He gave me the blessing of being able to serve others in that capacity. Now, another thing that we need to know about God is that God is all-powerful and always victorious in the end. Now, that doesn't leave any room for anyone else to be all-powerful. Only God is that. He also visits his wrath, and it speaks about this. At least one-fifth of the whole Bible is talking about that in prophecy, where he's going to visit his wrath on the wicked, the evil, the unrepentant sinners, the rebellious, all those that are in cahoots with Satan in his realm. So it would be best not to be in that particular category or group of individuals. God is eternal. Now, this is something that I'm fascinated with, but I can't understand it. He has no beginning, and he has no end. Now, the native in Athabascan Indians and Yupik and Inuput Eskimos that I worked with always describe that as a ring, as a circle, because a circle itself does not display any particular spot as the beginning and the end. And you can kind of visualize it that way, but it still doesn't describe God adequately. I don't think we have words in our vocabulary that really can. Now, we have to also remember God is love. We know that there's several verses to that effect. God is spirit. God is truth. But he's also invisible and unmutable. He doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a comfort that particular thing is, and it has been in my life, because there have been, and you may have also experienced these particular problems of having utter chaos surround you, and being in battle in my younger years, that chaos was extremely violent. Yet God saw me through it. In fact, as I'm reminded of that, as he's reminding me, he continuously forewarned me of impending danger. Sometimes it was very instantaneous, where he would say, get down as low as you can get, and something would come in. In fact, I had a mortar round. My Sergeant Owenby, that was with me, I had been watching we were right with our mortar team itself, 60 millimeter mortars, and I had been watching our mortars go whoop and go up about 1,100 feet and then arc down and come down on the enemy on the opposite side of the trees that we were hiding behind, or trying to keep the bullets from getting to us by having the trees in the middle. Anyway, my sergeant friend jabbed me in the ribs with his elbow, and he says, "Hey, sir, look." And he pointed up, and I says, "Yeah, I've seen that." And then I realized, instead of growing smaller, this particular mortar was getting larger. It was coming. They had watched where our mortars were, because they could see where they're, you know, you can see those things because they're not going up as high. And so they had placed a mortar round almost dead center in our midst. It came down, it was in the dry season. The soil itself was hard caked. And you know how clay will separate and crack wide open? Well, there was a crack right underneath me that was big enough that I could stick my whole nose into it. And I did. And that's about as low as I could get. that particular mortar round landed about 11 feet away from where I was. It bounded, or I should say bounced, up in the air after its impact about 3 to 3.5 feet, and then came down to rest and never went off. It was a dud. However, because we knew they had the target too precisely for comfort, we immediately picked up the mortar squad and every one of us moved out of that particular location, lest the next one come along and not be a dud. But God protected me in that. Other times, He would give me, most of the time, He would give me a sense of urgency that something was really dangerous that was coming up, and to take expert cautions, not to take any shortcuts, but to do everything by, as we say, by the book, do it everything that needed to be done to forewarn us and to be prepared so that we didn't endanger the rest of the unit. And sure enough, that was the day that we got hit, and we were prepared for it. So, in fact, we were so much more alert that we were able to discern the enemy's location before the enemy saw us. So, and those things happen. Like, one of the things that the Lord had done also to prepare me was to have me raised on a farm out in the rural area where we hunted a lot. And you can detect another living animal or being, human or animal, simply by what happens as they move. If the wind is blowing the grass from left to right, and suddenly you see something moving and pushing the grass a little bit too far down, or the opposite direction from right to left, you know that that's exactly where there's a man. And if he's trying to be clandestine and secret, you also know another thing about him. He's not your friend. He's trying to get to a position where he can kill you before you can kill him. Most of the death that I observed in combat was pretty much a reaction of self-defense. It was either quick draw the other guy and shoot before he quick drew and shot you. And by seeing where the individual was and where the indication was, you could pretty much aim exactly where that location was. And enough of that. Let's get on with the Lord. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere in all dimensions. An interesting thing about studying particle theory and the subatomic particles is that you get down to a dimension that is so small that it loses what we call its locality. It doesn't have a location. It suddenly becomes everywhere all at once. So it becomes as a particle of God, because only God can be everywhere all at once. And it's fascinating to see that. And the other thing is, these particles, even though they may be on the opposite sides of the entire galaxy, if one individual particle is moved, it's sister particle on the other side of the galaxy, which is billions and billions of miles away, instantly knows and reacts in the same manner. Now that's way, way faster than the speed of light. That's instantaneous. How can that be? Oh my, I have so many questions I want to ask the Lord. Some of them I think He'll probably allow us to understand and discover here. But most of the time, and in fact, I should stop and say, most of the knowledge that we have is not something that we have originally developed. We're simply discovering what God has already done. Isn't that fascinating? Now, there's another big word that they describe God as, and it's called omniscient. And that is, he's all-knowing and aware of everything, to include any changes that happen to everything. How on earth can he keep track of that? So he knows every one of those particles and what each one of the particles is doing to the other particles. And sometimes the particles are acting like it's an individual entity, and other times it's acting like a wave. How can that be? Wow. God is able to interact with everyone and everything at the same time. God is all faithful. Have you ever found such a faithful one as our God and our Savior and our Lord and Savior Jesus? And he is not only faithful in everything, but in every way. He is our example of faithfulness. In fact, he's our example in all of these things. He's omnipotent, all-powerful, and is perfect in all his ways. And those are just a few characteristics of God. I'm sure there's many more, but those were the ones that he had me highlight at this point in time. From there, from level 12, and speaking about the Lord and the triune God, then we go to level 11, and its location, you notice that level 12 is everywhere. I didn't say that it was on the earth or heaven, because it's not only on earth and heaven, but it's in every dimension, and it's always there everywhere. So it's unique in that characteristic. However, now we're getting into the created beings in level 11, and in level 11, those individuals are primarily found in heaven. Now, these are the created beings that are with God, in support of God, and in glorifying God. They are the angels. In Revelations we find there's not only angels, but there's archangels. There's four created beings. There's seraphim and teraphim. And who knows how many more. And since I don't have a good feel for that at this point, I haven't actually listed any particular sub-levels of level 11. But there are many. These individuals fellowship with God, and they carry out God's purpose and interact with man as directed by God. Now, God himself, as we discussed, already knows everything that's going on. His created beings, be they his angels or fallen angels, are not able to entertain everything at the same time, all at once. They have to do it on a sequential basis. There are many numerous internal levels, I'm sure, but I haven't listed them here. Also included in this particular group are the souls and spirits of the righteous dead who are awaiting their resurrection. And by the way, from what I understand, we aren't, when we go there, we're not just left to sit on a cloud, play a harp. But there are some exciting things that are there. Heaven is fun. Heaven is busy. There are places, from what I understand, that of great knowledge. In fact, they appear as the halls of knowledge. Huge locations of library, of a library, that a heavenly library. So if you want to be, if you love studying, and I do, you can study to your heart's content. You may have a directed assignment to do something particular for God. And what an exciting thing that would be. I once had a vision where I was with Jesus. We were there in the, not the throne room, but the court of heaven. And as we were there, Jesus said, "Come with me." I followed him, or actually was beside him. And he led me into an area that was obscured by heavy, thick, dark clouds. And before me, in front of the clouds and underneath the clouds, and well, within the clouds, were these stones. And the stones themselves were contained a layer of bluish white light with a yellow tip on it, of fire. And we could walk. We were walking up and down in those stones in the fire of God. And I could sense, you know how you can tell something's looking at you? I could sense through the other side of or wherever this thick, very, very thick smoke layer and cloud layer of smoke was, that God was looking at me. I could sense it through, just through the force of his looking, gazing at me. I could not see him, but I was aware of it. And as Jesus stood beside me, I felt no fear. And then I heard the voice of God, and he asked me, he spoke to me and said, "I have two dates that I want you to consider, and I want you to select the one that you desire." And he gave me the date 1 March and the date 2 March. No year, just that date. And as he spoke 1 March, I sensed a calmness. But when he spoke 2 March, there was a heightened joy. And so I automatically picked the piece that was full of pieces at the same time. And so I automatically picked the one that was indicated by the joy and the peace of the Lord. And I said, I choose 2 March. He said, "Okay, so shall it be. It will happen on 2 March." Now, what's going to happen on 2 March? I don't know. But he wanted me, and I was just overwhelmed at the awareness that we could be called upon by the Lord to make a choice in his decision making. You know, I've given recommendations to generals and to high officials in the military and in the civilian field. But wow, to be asked by God to choose, and that he would use what you chose, that just floors me. Anyway, brings us to the end of that particular level, level 11. Now we get into those levels that are not going to be as pleasant. These are exciting levels, level 12 and level 11. I enjoy these. The next ones are not going to be so fun, but it's good to know about them, because then we know what Satan is up to and what his minions are also up to. Number one, It's going to be levels 8, 9, and 10. The top three levels contain Satan's kingdom, his higher echelon of his kingdom. And it occurs on Earth and in other dimensions, but I'm not sure which ones. It is filled with total evil and hatred. And it comes from the evil comes from Satan's seed and his kingdom. He hates mankind. And let's see. Let me go on this one right here.
Brother Tom, just to give you a heads up, we've got about 5 minutes remaining.
Oh, my goodness. And we only got through the first two. Okay.
We can come back, of course, and do another program or multiple. Do a series.
Yeah, we may have to do a series here. There's a footnote to that where it's referring to John 10:10a. You know, we did John 10:10b, where Jesus said that he came to give us life and life abundantly, more abundantly. Well, the first part of that is the thief, Satan himself, cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. We've often, we've often spoken that particular portion of the verse to warn one another, but it really is true. So if you see something that's trying to steal your peace, trying to kill you, trying to destroy you, guess where it's coming from? If there's a philosophy that incorporates stealing, killing, and destroying, I can think of one philosophy right now. And it's called communism. The study of it is communist propaganda. Communism itself is nothing more than the public face of Satan worship. People may not realize that they're worshiping Satan, but they're the ones, they're giving power to the entity, and it's Satan. Anyway, I'm trying to see where we want to go with our...
Maybe we have a stopping point there, and the remaining 3 minutes, you want to give out your contact information?
Yeah, I think probably that would be the best bet right now, because otherwise we're going to get into a more complicated area. So I think this is a good place to stop. We're just beginning at levels 8 through 10. I will read the rest of this particular sentence where he said, where I've listed that Satan hates mankind, and these entities of Satan's followers, spiritual as well as physical, will try to overcome and destroy all mankind. Remember I said destroy? He wants to destroy. He doesn't want any man left alive, man, woman, or child. But in the battle of good against evil, although the saints are worn down, those who know their God, will do great exploits. And that's found in Daniel. So take that to heart, that we will do exploits for God. And I'll stop at that point in time. My particular contact information is from my website, My website is aliveontheedge.com. That happens to be the title of my first book. The second book is The Sharp Edge of the Sword. Alive on the Edge is how God kept me when I was on the edge, literally, not only in battle, but throughout my life. The second book is his prophetic information and revelations that he has given me, and a lot of it that deals with this particular time that we're in right now. Yes, we will be seeing great devastation, but the end result is far greater than all of that that we're going to be involved in. In fact, once it's over, we will never remember the harsh times and the hard times because of the glory of what's coming before us. So
fantastic.
I encourage
that website again, Brother Tom.
AliveOnTheEdge.com, and you can order any one of the books there. There's some good reference material as well. There's visions and dreams of individuals that have gone before us, starting with George Washington and Valley Forge. Reverend A.A. Allen is another one. And so just have a feast. Again, it's aliveontheedge.com. And may the Lord be with you tonight and until we meet again.
Brother Tom, always an honor to be with you. We'll get this up in the archive quickly, and I'll be in contact with you on text. We'll get you set up for your next broadcast. Sound good?
Okay, sounds good.
Merry Christmas
this
to you,
is
brother.
A good, yeah, Merry Christmas. And this is a much easier time frame for me.
Perfect. I've got many of these time periods open, and folks, stay tuned as we continue marathon. We'll see you soon, Brother Tom.
Okay, and the Lord be with you and with all of our audience.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thank you.
Friends, stay tuned as we set up for our next show.